Welcome to Vintage Church North. If you don't know me, my name is Tanner Griffith. I'm one of our pastors here at Vintage Church North. If you are new with us, we want you to know that Vintage Church is a church for doubters, seekers, and followers. So wherever you are on your journey, we want this church to be a church you could call home. We're glad to have you here this week. This is our first week of this new series. You saw it up here. 10 is kind of the title of the series. This series is about 10 real people. And we have created, really, Jared Trumbo has created this incredible summer devotional. And we have these study guides. As you go out, we would love for you, every single person, to take one of these as we study through this summer. These 10 Old Testament characters is amazing. We're going to read from characters that were rich, like Abraham today. We're read about characters that were poor, widows, queens, prophets, powerful, weak. Daniel himself, Daniel was a slave. We're going to go through. We're going to go through how God uses real people to advance his kingdom. And this study guide, I think it's just going to be an incredible tool for your heart and soul as we go through this series. So we would love all of you, please, on your way out, we're going to have folks handing these out. Please take one. We're going to have them. If you know friends aren't here, we're going to have them here every week. So if people miss them, we'll have them here next week. Please take one of these on your way out. This series, again, is about how God uses real people. Our whole year is designed on looking at how God calls us, if we know and trust him, to all be missionaries, to all advance the gospel wherever we go and advance his kingdom. And so today we start with a man named Abraham. You may have seen in this reading, his name started as Abram. I'm going to talk about him today as Abraham. When God meets him, he actually changes his name. Two things we're going to see in this passage today that are so important for all of us. Abraham is going to show us what God does when he shows up in our lives. He always does two things when he shows up in our lives. The first is he's going to bless you. When God shows up in your life, he blesses you. And this is a concept that is, I don't want you to miss, is so much deeper than maybe you can imagine. God's blessing restores everything in not only your life, but all of creation. So one thing that happens when God shows up is he blesses. And then when he blesses you so that you become a blessing. You become his blessing. He blesses us not so that we just keep it for ourselves, but that we would bless every family on this planet. We're going to see this in the story of Abraham today. We need to pray. We need to ask God to work and move in only ways that he can in this room. Each of us in our lives today has something going on that's hidden, that's hard, where, to be honest, you know what you need? You need God to show up like he did with Abraham, where he comes to you and he brings his blessing to you. And so the only way I know for that to happen is we ask him to come do that. So would you do that with me? Let's pray. God, would you settle us this morning? God, would you settle us in our seats exactly where we are? God, would your spirit move in this room, in this time, through your word? God, every single person in this room needs to hear from you today. If you would not speak today, all this is just in vain. We just have to have you. We have to have your voice. We need you. And so, God, in this room, I pray that your voice would be heard loud and clear, that you would open our ears, that you would open our eyes, that you would open up the imagination in our hearts to the blessing and the love that is ours in Jesus Christ today. Help us as we study this passage this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who is Abraham? This is the beginning of our series. This is well into the beginning of the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles here today, you'll see Abraham is on like just the first few pages. Genesis is like literally is the beginning of the Bible, of the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with Abraham, you've probably at least heard his name out in the world. This guy is the father of Israel. This was the first person that God comes to and says, hey, I'm going to make you into this great nation. You are going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. In chapter 15 of this book, God's going to make this covenant with Abraham. A covenant is something that can never be broken, where God himself says, I'm going to give you this offspring, and through this offspring, every single nation, every single family on this earth is going to be blessed. And it's this covenant that all of us hold on to, especially the people of Israel. They held on to this covenant. They were God's chosen people because of this covenant, and this covenant could never be broken. They were to be this light to the world of this hope that's found in God himself. Some of you that have been in church a long time, you've probably sung about Abraham. You know, Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. You've probably heard that song if you're in VBS. Why do we care about Father Abraham? Why does Paul in Romans, if you've read Romans, say that we're children of Abraham? In Galatians, what's the big deal that we're children of Abraham? The reason that's a big deal in the Bible is Abraham's who got the covenant. That God said, I'm yours and you're mine. And that can never be broken. And so what Paul is saying in his works in Romans and in Galatians is, if you're a child of Abraham, you're a child of this promise that can never be broken towards you, that God is your God and you are his people. And that can never be broken. That's an amazing reality. And that's why there's such a big emphasis on Abraham. This is why we're starting with Abraham. We want to see what happens in Abraham's life. So we're going to break this down. I mentioned the sermon really, or this passage, what we're going to see is God comes when he shows up, he's going to bless. And he's going to make us into blessings. He's going to cause us, he wants to bless us so that we bless others. Those are the two things. I'm going to start actually on that back end, how he makes us, he blesses us so that we would be a blessing. I want to start there. So what happens when God appears to Abraham? Let's look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 12 of Genesis. It says this, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Man, when God shows up, what's the first word God says? Go. When God shows up, the first thing he says to Abraham is, go. That's an important reality for us to see. And it's not a new one in Scripture. We just got out of the book of Acts. And you remember the story of Saul, Paul? When God shows up with him, what happens? Let's look at it. Verses 4 and 6 of Acts chapter 9 say this. It says, "And falling to the ground," this is when Jesus shows up, he's on the road to Damascus, "he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said," this is Saul, "'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise, enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" When Jesus shows up, Jesus has a job. I mean, he doesn't ask Paul or Saul, "Do you accept me?" He just tells them what to do. When he shows up, he has a mission for you. You know the story of Moses? You know, Pharaoh said, "Hey, kill all these Hebrew children." He's put in a basket. The Pharaoh's daughter actually picks him out of the Nile River. He grows up in Pharaoh's household. He starts learning his story. He sees that his own people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they are enslaved. He sees one of the Egyptian masters one day beating one of the Hebrews, and Moses goes out. What does he do? He kills the guy. And he realizes, "I probably shouldn't have done that. Now I'm in big trouble." And he flees Egypt, right? So he goes, and you know what happens when he flees? He meets God. We hear this story that you probably all know of the burning bush. What does God do when he reveals and meets Moses? He gives him a job. He puts him on mission. You probably know the story of Isaiah. I could go on and on and on. Isaiah has this vision from the Lord. He's a prophet. He knows God. All these people, to be honest, they knew God. But one day God showed up in their lives. Isaiah has this vision, and this vision is amazing. It's this vision where he's in the temple, and in the middle of the temple, there's this throne, and on the throne is God himself, and the train of his robe is all through the temple, and there's these cherubim, these angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy," all day long. And Isaiah, in front of the presence of God, can only do what all of us would do, is to understand the difference between God and himself. The first word out of his mouth is, "Woe. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips and from a people of unclean lips." He knows his sin in light of his Savior. And what does God do? Gives him a mission. This is what happens in Abraham's life. God appears. Abraham knows God. Abraham knows the Creator God. There's no reason for us to doubt that he doesn't know him. But this is different. God shows up in his life, and what's the first thing he says? "Go. Leave. Leave everything you know. Leave your family." He has a mission for him. That is true for us. The way God appears to them is what happens in our life. And yes, these are very special type of circumstances. I'm not expecting for you today to necessarily have a vision of you up in the heavens in the temple with the throne and seeing the cherubim. That's not how it works for all of us, but I'm telling you, if you feel like you don't have mission, a purpose, you know what you need in life? For God to show up. You need him. You need the real God to show up in your life. When he shows up, when he appears, he puts you on mission. He gives you purpose. He gives you a direction. many of us feel like we're floating. We don't know what we're designed for. We don't feel like we have an anchor in our lives. We feel out of control. We have fears in our brain. We feel like we can't connect with whatever that thing is that would give us something and purpose in our life. And I'm telling you, you need what Abraham needed. You need God. You need him to show up in your life. You need Jesus to show up in a real way in front of you. You may know God, just like Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. He was like a pastor to the people of Israel. He had preached and preached and preached. And you know what? One day he met God. And he was brought low. This is what happens when God comes to us. You know what happens? When God shows up in our lives and we meet him, we see him for who he is, this is what happens. You will be overcome. You will be overwhelmed. You will be, in some ways, undone by his presence. There's two words that describe this, I think, pretty well, that we all need in our life: awe and wonder. He is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is the Trinity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we must stand in awe and wonder in front of him. When we see him, those are the only two feelings that kind of should invade us and overwhelm us. The second reality of what happens when he shows up in our life is we're humbled. We are brought low. Just like Isaiah, we would typically say in front of him, woe is me. It's amazing when God does this to people. It is amazing what can happen in your life when you are brought to the bottom, when you are brought to literally the end of yourself. It is at the lowest of the low that Jesus starts his great sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When God brings you to see your need of him, your sin in light of his character, that undoing, that great undoing in your life is the most gracious thing God can do to you, because he will build you back. He will resurrect you. Resurrection becomes the hope of those type of people. The only thing that can make them stand is resurrection. That is what happens with Isaiah. And I think it's amazing that in these cases, when God shows up to those people, isn't it amazing to think that it's those of us that can really see ourselves as we are, which is just broken, needy people? God says, I'll use you. He will not use those. He will not put on mission those that don't have any needs, that are not at the bottom. He actually weirdly opposes those people. The Bible tells us he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to those who are brought low. When God shows up, we all in wonder come into our life. Humility comes into our life when we see our need. That's the second thing. And then finally, what happens when he shows up is he says, I'll use you. I've got a mission for you. Follow me. He does exactly what he does with Abraham, with Isaiah, with Moses, with Paul. When God shows up in our life, he becomes the anchor. He becomes the mission. He gives us himself and now says, I've got a purpose for you. If you're floating, if you feel like, what, I don't know my purpose, you know the application of this question is? Seek God. Seek God. Or do you feel like you're floating in life? Do you feel like you don't know where to go? What mission, what purpose you have in your life? I don't have a four-step formula for you. I would say get on your knees. He can be found. He will be found. He reveals himself to those of us who seek him. And he rewards those who seek him with himself. I mean, this is amazing. It starts with when God shows up, he does not let you be a consumer of like the world and material. He changes you. He gives you a mission. He's like, no, you can't be a consumer anymore. You got to stop just showing up to things and being like, let me just get and get and get and get. You become a giver. You have to become the one who's going to give and be a blessing. He changes us and changes our hearts to a place where now he says, you will be a blessing to all families on the earth. He creates us for that mission. That is what he does. But it's interesting. He says, hey, I don't mess around with consumers. You know, you just can't like show up and just like be the getter. You've got to be the one that's going to be a blessing to everyone that's around you, to all families, all nations. You're going to be a blessing. But it's interesting, he kind of does step into the part of like, in some ways, he says you can't be a consumer of the world. You can't be a consumer of material things. I'm going to step in that role. You have to consume me. To be a Christian, you have to be a consumer. You have to be, when he calls you to put you on mission, he says, you're going to do it like my son, Jesus Christ. And his son just needed his father. He always was reaching out for saying, for looking on what he had next for him, to consume and consume the reality of the relationship he had with his father. That is what we need in our lives, is we cannot be a consumer of worldly things, of material things. God says, you have to consume me. Jesus even says these things to us. I am the bread of life, he tells us. Do you have to eat every day? Yes. He tells the woman at the well, I'm living water. Drink of me. He is our water. He is our bread. He is to be consumed day after day after day. And in that reality, I can't just say don't be consumers. I've got to say be consumers, but be consumers of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Take them in through the word. Take them in prayer. Meet with them. Meet with him. He will stand alone in that place. When God appears to you, he's not only just asking you for you to give, he's gonna start saying, you've gotta be the biggest receiver and you've gotta be the receiver of me. You've gotta receive me, you've gotta receive my blessing. Every single day you need me. Every day, every moment, every hour I need thee. Every single moment we become receivers so that we can give. We give, we advance his kingdom through our receiving of God himself. Does this make sense? Hopefully this is making sense, but he won't play around with, okay, just, Abraham, you don't really need to like lose everything for me. No, he's like, you got everything. I'm your life. I will be all of your life. And he's going to provide in ways that only he can. And there's a power in it. Look at verse 4. There is a power in walking and obeying God. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Abram obeyed. He listened, he heard, and he obeyed God. It's really simple. God said, go. What did Abraham do? He went. Do you want a power in your life? Do you want to know and be kind of settled in the road you're walking? Do what God says. When God says something, take him up on it. Take him up on it. There's the best command I could give you. I'm going to give you two. Show this reality. When God says, love me and love others, I can tell you right there, if you take him up on that, you will thrive in your life. There will be a thriving that is unimaginable to you. If you take him up on, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Human thriving is found in that verse. When you obey God in that way, there is a thriving that's amazing. And when you love others as you love yourself, which actually is really important for me to say, some of you need to start with yourself. But when you love others like you love yourself, there is a recipe for human thriving in obedience to those two commands. And when we walk in that, we walk in power. God will provide for us. It's, you know what? Those are the two hardest things to do too, to love God and to love others. It's really hard. We're like in our souls kind of, it, or at least in me, I'll say it. It's hard to do that. I have to go all the time to God and say, help me. When I put myself up to that, you know what? I do feel kind of poor in spirit. It's amazing though that God says, if you ask for help, I will help you. I use the humble. I use that person. Ask for help. This is what he wants for us. To walk in his power according to his word. There's a couple things here. One, you need an application. Are you in his word? Do you read it? Do you try to do it? I would say take him up on that. Like, read his word. Try to apply it. Here's an easy one. You're here today. Why don't you resolve to do one thing that you feel convicted of in this sermon this week? And watch what God does. Bring that to your community groups. Go, hey, here's the one thing I feel convicted of in my life. I want to do this week. I want to walk in the power of God's word and his command. And also, the amazing thing, in the power of his blessing. This is where he's blessing. He is like this whole thing that he gave to Abram is all about blessing. Walk in the power of his blessing. He has made you to be a blessing. He will get behind you. He will be that wind in the sails of you loving him and loving others. And the final part that I think is just so important is this last piece of when he shows up to Abraham, he says, I will bless you. Look at verse 12, 2b. And I will bless you. This is what everyone in this room needs. Every single one of you, I know you need this. And God promises it. He promises it to Abraham. He covenants with Abraham to say, I will be the God that blesses you. This is the gospel. This is the good news that we have. This is everything to us. This is why we get a lot of babies on this stage and we pray the Lord's blessing over their lives. We pray the Lord's blessing over our lives. When the Lord blesses us, nothing can come against those people. It is amazing. God comes to Abraham and says, I will bless you. And today I need to tell you something. He's saying that to you. You just may not be able to hear it. I will bless you. Where do you need Jesus' blessing in your life? There are some things, there's some shame, there's some guilt, there's some fear in your life that I'm telling you, if you confront that, if you walk right up and you look into this mirror that you're afraid to look into, Jesus will meet you at that place. At your darkest moment, he will actually embrace you and he will bless you. He invites you today to understand how this even works. How can he bless you? Some of you feel like, I don't feel worthy of a blessing. You know what? Abraham wasn't, and we're not either. The way that Jesus can bless us cost him his life. The way that Jesus can bless us is in Galatians, Paul tells us that he, the blessed one, became a curse for us. He became a curse. On his cross, he took everything that is a curse in your life, in my life, in all of our lives, he took the curse that was upon us. This Jesus Christ invites you to come to his cross today and look at what he took from you. What baggage is on you today that you need to leave with him at that cross and give it to Jesus Christ to carry for you. He invites you to see what he did so that he might come to you and lay his hands on you and bless you. It is in his blessing that now we can be blessings. I will make you a blessing, he tells. He's going to bless him and then I'm going to make you a blessing. All of us in this room, we are made for that. Our hearts need his blessing in our lives, and then we need to be blessings. The story of Abraham is our story. It's a real guy, and he did really well. He was really wealthy. He walked this earth. He made a ton of mistakes. You just keep reading. He like tells rulers, no, that's not my wife. That's my sister. He's a liar. He's got a lot of weird stuff in his life, but you know what God does? Is he uses him and he loves him. He's covenanted with him and he will never, ever break that covenant because of who God is. Abraham needed that blessing. You need that blessing. It is in Jesus Christ that we have that. what are some like ways that we can actually apply this message to our lives? I've shared a few of these. One is the only thing I can really know. Why don't you ask God to show up in your life? Ask him. He already in Jesus Christ really has. Maybe you can have that thing like Isaiah had, where it's like he knew God intellectually, but then he sees God in a real way. You know who can do that? Only God can. Pray, ask for him to reveal himself to you. Seek him. Then too, I would ask you, in so many ways, it's just really clear that he's shown up to a lot of you. I know you guys, and he's come to you guys. He's shown up in a very real way, and there's just some things that we're just kind of off mission. We've kind of lost some of the purpose he's given to us. Here's what I'd say to that. Look at where he's put you. Typically, where he's put you is where he sent you. Okay, so the grass is always greener is like not what I'm asking you to do. I'm like saying, hey, mom, that's super tired. That's probably guilty all the time because you can't, whether you go to work or don't go to work or whatever you do, you feel guilty. God has a place for you. Whatever, wherever you're at, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, he sent you there. Men, I know you struggle with this. I talk to y'all all the time. What am I supposed to do with my life? What's my purpose? Look at where he sent you. Where are you? And ask him to show up where you are. And love God and love others at that place. Man, that's something that we all can apply this week. And three, receive the blessing, the free blessing of Jesus Christ today. Receive himself. All of us need this blessing on our life. That one phrase, I will bless you. Receive that today. Know that he has loved you and will never stop loving you because of his great love for you on his cross, where he took all of your sins and he rose again 3 days later, changing all reality. That the resurrection is not only possible, it is going to happen for us all, every one of us who believes in him, and he is restoring and renewing every single thing on this earth and in creation, and he will not be stopped. And he puts us in the places where we are to be blessings. Receive his blessing today. Would you pray with me? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.